We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Let's turn to page 40. God will make a way. Page 40.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Page 218. We'll prepare our hearts for worship with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that you are here worshiping on this beautiful day in the mountains. And please register in the maroon book and sign it and pass it over from this side to that side. And after service, we'll pick them up. Prayer requests are on the yellow sheets in your pew. Fill those out for prayer requests and praise requests. We want to keep Mary Richards in our prayers. She might still be in the fellowship hall, but she'll be taken down to the hospital. She fell after Bible study this morning. So keep Mary and Dick in our prayers today. Let's see. We have a couple of announcements. One, Glenn wants to talk to you about the Valentine dinner. And then Donald. Pardon? Okay. All right, and Debbie had an announcement, but she had to leave, and Donald wants to talk to you also. So a couple announcements now. Glenn, would you come up? And
I'm just going to mention that the tent board is coming around to sign up for the Valentine's
Day. Okay, all right.
And they only have this week and next week to sign up.
Okay, you only have this week and next week to sign up for the Valentine dinner, because that will be February 10th. Okay, just before Valentine's. So at 2 o'clock at Sacramento camp. All right, Donald.
Well, it's such a wonderful time to be part of this church. Sorry for me running down the stairs to make this announcement, but getting a whole new sound system and video operation. And then I got informed today that we're having a 50-year anniversary for this church. Apparently on June 9th, 50 years ago, was when our church was founded. And I would just like to invite everybody, and there's an insert in your bulletin. There's a list of pastors that used to preach here, and then if any of y'all know how to contact them and want to host them in your home, please fill out the back and turn it in to the church office so that they'll feel comfortable, and I'm certain some of them will be able to come and enjoy our celebration. Let's see. And also, if you'll read the bottom paragraph there, the committee needs pictures and stories and something to tell the community how helpful we have been to the area up here. And email anything you want to the office, or if you can't scan it, bring them in, and the office will take care of copying the pictures for you and give them back to you. But it's amazing the difference between 50 years ago and today, and we're trying to get set up for the next 50 years. I know it's kind of cumbersome sometimes for people to deal with the change, but it's nothing like it was 50 years ago, and in another 50, it won't be like this. So is there anything else? Did I miss anything? All right, well, now I got to get back up, and we're still trying to deal with stuff up there, so thank you.
Okay, are there any more announcements? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2223 and stand together as we sing. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard human dignity and save human pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, God's only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
We'll continue with the call to worship. You'll read the bold print. God built the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. God calls us to be builders as well. God calls us to build our lives, to restore broken places and continue to grow. God calls us to build our faith, to study the Word and ponder its interpretation. God calls us to build our community, to build bridges of understanding and systems of justice. God calls us to build history by fulfilling the promises of Scripture, to preach the good news of God's love and liberation for all people. We'll continue with the Apostles' Creed, found on 881 in the back of your red hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Keep standing.
Please turn in your hymnal to page 557. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred blood is life to them above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent in prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are won, our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear. Asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Now you may be seated.
We'll continue with the prayer of confession. Let us say it in unison. God of our restoration, whenever we come home to you, we realize how far we have strayed and how much we have forgotten of your law and your love. We have not loved you with our whole hearts or loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us, heal us, and restore us to our relationship with you. Through Jesus Christ, in whom we trust. Amen. Now hear the good news. As a called and ordained minister of Jesus Christ, I assure you that you have been restored in the grace of God. Do not mourn, therefore, but rejoice. For this is a new day for you and for me. God's word does not come to condemn us, but to make us wise, reviving our souls and rejoicing our hearts. God's word has been fulfilled among us in Jesus Christ, who sets us free to live in accord with God's own jubilee. And if the ushers would come up for the offering.
Father, we thank you for this day and every day that you give us to be your servants. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We pray that you might use these gifts that you have first given us for your ministry and for the work for the world. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
got mad at him one day. You might not speak to him for a couple of weeks, you know, so you're not close, or like it happened to your brother or sister. So if you love them, no matter what they do, you're still going to be close, aren't you? Your family are always close to them. Hopefully you're close to everybody here in church. So just remember, love is the arm of the Lord, our cane or whatever, okay? Let's just say our little prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the love for each other that helps us stay close. In Jesus' name, amen. We have scooped snacks today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We've had an exciting morning today, but God is good, and we have to hold on to that. It is sharing time. Phyllis would like us to pray for Pat Thomas. She's having health concerns. Susan, for Jack, who has doctor's appointment this week. And Roberta, for her sister Debbie Herridge, she's having heart problems. For Mary, who has fallen today, but never falls from the hands of God. Lord, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, for all this that we lift up to you, Lord, and those that are in the deepest part of our hearts, Lord, they're so hard, Lord, for us to share their name, their circumstances. But my Heavenly Father, we suffer with them when we know that they're not doing well, when we know that there is a concern in their lives. And most of all, Father, when we know that they're not walking with you. So we pray today, Lord, asking you for your healing hands over each and every one of this, your children. We pray today, my Heavenly Father, for those, Lord, that will never see the light of day, my Heavenly Father. Will they see your light always? We pray, Father, for our community, Lord, and for the things that are happening around us that we have no control over. We give you thanks, my Heavenly Father, for all the things that you have done in our lives, the way that you have drawn us close to you and continue to do so. All in the name of Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before I go to the prayer of illumination, let me share this with you. We are needing volunteers for the children's time. If you could please pass this along. You know, you don't have to have any requirements. The only requirement is a willful heart and the love of God. And yes, a love of the children. That's very important. Prayer of illumination. Lord, we have gathered before your word of God. We want to hear with understanding, so give us attentive ears. By the power of your Holy Spirit at work in the word, read and proclaimed, make the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart acceptable to you, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Our reading today comes from Matthew 5, 21, 26, then 18, 21, 22, and then finally 6, 14, 15. I don't like to jump that much over the Bible, but sometimes that's just the way the Lord presents it to me, and I'm just following with what I hear. My sermon today is called Captive by Choice, and the word reads this way. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, which means vain, empty, worthless, it derives from a root meaning to spit. It's answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? The Lord said, as many as 7 times 70. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. This is the word of God for the people of God. So what does God mean when he says forgive biblically? Forgiveness in the Bible is a release or a dismissal of something. The forgiveness we have in Christ involves the release of sinners from God's just penalty and the complete dismissal of all charges against us. Romans 8 and 1 and Colossians 1 and 14 say that in God's beloved Son, we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. The Amplified Bible translates this particular verse as the forgiveness of our sins and the cancellations of our penalty. I like that. I just feel that it brings it closer to home. God's gracious forgiveness of our sins is to be measured by his gracious forgiveness to us. Our forgiveness of others is to be measured by God's gracious forgiveness to each one of us. To some people, forgiveness may seem like weakness or letting an undeserving person win, but it has no connection to weaknesses or even to emotions. Instead, forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is not granted because the person deserves to be forgiven. No one deserves to be forgiven in the eyes of God. Forgiveness is a deliberate act of love, of mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision not to hold something against another person, despite what he or she has done to you. Or worst, what you think they have done to you. We need to remember that forgiveness is an integral part of salvation. When Jesus forgave us, our sins, our trespasses, our iniquities, and all our transgressions, meaning the things we do on purpose and the ones we don't know we commit. When he forgave us, they are erased. They are wiped off the record. Forgiveness of sins is comparable to a financial debt that is being removed. When Jesus said, "It is finished," from the cross, he was literally saying, "It is paid in full." Jesus took the punishment we all deserve. So when God forgives us our sins, we are free. We no longer live under that debt. Our sins are wiped out. God will never hold that sin against us. My favorite verse about sin, and one that I have to repeat myself very often, is Hebrews 8:12. As far as the east is from the west, I will remove your sins from you, and I will remember them no more. When I read that, when I recite it, because now I know it by memory, I put my name in there, because it's my way of hearing the Lord saying, I will remember your confession no more. It is impossible to have salvation without forgiveness. Salvation is God's deliverance from the consequences of sins. God's salvation in Christ is the ultimate example of forgiveness. Now, don't be confused with forgiveness and consequences. The spiritual penalty of sin is eternal death. That is the one that the Lord offers to us every single day. The consequences of your sins are the lessons we have to learn, and we learn them here. Forgiveness is also an essential part of the life of the believer. Ephesians 4:32 commands, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Similarly, Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever injustice has been done to you. It says grievances on the Bible. So I had to go and look at what grievances means. So grievances means offense, disservice, real or imagined, especially unfair treatment, a complaint, an objection, resentment, and grumbling. This is what the Lord is asking us to forgive. Take each category one by one. In a nutshell, why do we forgive? Because we have been forgiven. And in my case, I have been forgiven much. Refusing to forgive a person demonstrates resentment, bitterness, anger, none of which are traits of a growing Christian. Doesn't matter how much you come to church, how many things you do, a charitable work. If you're carrying this, you're kind of walking like in a dark cloud. God promises that when we come to Him confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness, He freely grants it for the sake of Christ. Not for our sake, not because we are so eloquent that we could just kind of like rationalize, yes, Lord, I did that, but no. He does it because of Jesus. Because in the cross, He said, it is finished, and He has paid then for sins we're committing now. All we need to do is come and confess, and unforgiveness is one of those sins. Likewise, the forgiveness we extend to others should have no limits. We know now why we should forgive others. Let me show you what unforgiveness looks like. For all Christians, whether you agree or not, unforgiveness is a problem. I can tell when someone is harboring unforgiveness, not because I'm smart, but because I recognize the signs. I have been there myself, and I also discern when someone is holding me in unforgiveness. Most of the time, for me, it's obvious when someone is harboring unforgiveness. Mentioning the offender's name in the presence of that person and all sorts of negative emotions bubble up to the surface. But other times, an unforgiving spirit might not be so apparent because it's been repressed and denied for a long time. In other words, we have learned to live with what we're holding on to. A person might wonder why he feels critical or distrustful without realizing that these emotions are symptoms of something deeper. Unforgiveness is like a balloon. If we try to suppress it in one area of our lives, it will pop up in another. This is no way to live, and it is certainly not what God has intended for any one of us. According to Ephesians 4:31, we're to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice, each of which is evidence of an unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving heart. Hebrews 12:15 says that we are warned not to let the root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble and defiling those around us. In my own words, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, will be used by Satan as a stumbling block for other people's lives. And the saddest of all, the stumbling block in your own lives. The biggest problem with forgiveness is that it doesn't seem fair. After all, justice requires that a guilty person pay for his offense. Everybody talks about what's fair. But then we see fair being manipulated for what is fair to us, what we think it should look like. Therefore, if the wrong cannot be undone, then holding a grudge seems to be the best option for us. But how much are you willing to pay to do that? Because I can guarantee you that if you're holding anything, anyone, any situation in unforgiveness, it's costing you, and it's costing you dearly. Jesus called us to forgive. In the Lord's Prayer recited here every Sunday, we ask Jesus to forgive our debts. We ask him to forgive our sins. And then we say, as we will forgive our debtors. But we believe when we ask Jesus, forgive our sins. But then we kind of, and forgive. I'll forgive those that have offended me. Kind of like we say it in a way that maybe Jesus won't hear it. You know, he just needs to hear the first part, you know. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. If you do not forgive others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Now, this doesn't mean that you will lose your salvation if we hold on to our anger. But unforgiveness brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit. And you heard me say that I didn't understand what the word sorrow to the Holy Spirit meant until I got that I make the Holy Spirit sad. And since I remember what it is to be sad, I decided I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to be used by Satan. I am not going to do that. I purposely make and bow my heart for forgiveness, to get it prepared, to get it where it needs to be. This is contrary to the lavish pardon that God pours on us holding somebody else as if they had taken us to the cross. But then we ask Jesus to forgive us. Unforgiveness directly affects our communion with God. No, you do not lose your salvation. Nothing makes you do that. But you know how you feel on those mornings when you can just inhale and you feel that the whole clean air is coming in, and you just don't know, but you know, there's just something, there's a pep in your spirit. Well, that's your communion with God. That's your coming like this with your Holy Spirit. You lose some of that, if not all of it, when you're not able to forgive. Also, unforgiveness is harmful to us. It not only causes emotional, mental, physical, and relational problems, but like any other sin, it also chokes. It chokes the spiritual life out of us because we're not walking in the Spirit when we're holding sins against other people. John warns that anyone who claims he is in the light but hates his brother stumbles around in the darkness of sin, and his eyes are blinded to his true condition. So how can we recover from an unforgiving spirit? It's hard. It really is hard, and I know it. So I'm not asking you to do something that I cannot relate to, but it's not impossible. I can assure you that working through forgiveness requires time and healing. It is much like recovering from an illness. Sometimes you recuperate within hours. Other times you simply have to take it one day at a time. But you're still recuperating. That's the important part. Where can we start? The first step is to take responsibility and confess our own sins to God. Then we must change the way we think about our offender so that we can begin to respond differently to that person, to that situation, to that place. This is exactly what Paul told the Ephesians to do. How do we do this? We all have to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you're doing wrong, what you have accustomed yourself to, the little sins, the white lies, well, nobody notices that. Well, that's not a big thing. Nobody died. So it's okay, you know. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And I recommend, because I did it, through a course of 1 week of prayer, I was writing down. Because I was serious. I really needed to get this off from me. So Ephesians says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Then release the offender. Instead of demanding justice, we are called to trust God as the judge. Peter says, a person who patiently endures mistreatment finds favor with God. Peter 2:19-21. Yes, that's Peter. But I can tell you that the Lord doesn't want sacrifice. He wants a contrite heart. And if there's somebody in your life that is your offender, and they are toxic to you, to your family, to your relationship with God, you are to forgive them, love them in Christ, but love them from a distance. You do not need to bring them home with you. Okay? I know that a lot of people feel that, well, you know, this is my cross. No, it's not your cross. The Lord didn't give you a cross. The Lord wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to forgive those that have hurt you. It is important for us, in order to go forward, to get closer to Christ, that we actually learn how to forgive. Also, God will often use an offender to reveal a weakness in us. Although we're focusing on the wrong done to us, God might want to use that particular situation to produce in us what we're lacking. kind of like reverse psychology. I hate it when the Lord does that, you know. Christ, character, and humility is our example. Have you ever encountered a person that feels that they are so valuable that they have the right to hold you spiritually, psychologically, emotional, and financially hostage? I have. We call them manipulators. We call them bullies. If you do or don't do this, then I will not do that or give that. We all know somebody that at one time of our life or another has actually tried to come in using this. That is not a godly position. That is not Christ-like character and humility. I much prefer for someone to hit me and me stand back than to immediately jump and hit them back. See, what I just said is very unnatural for me. I did not grow up like that. By the time you're getting your hand here, I'm already there. So me standing back, oh, only God, only God. But you know why I'm willing to stand back? Because as I'm standing back to be hit, guess who's coming right here to take the hit for me? God. You have to get to that point. You have to get to the point where you don't need to be your own avenger. You know? You don't need at night to turn into Spider-Man, you know, and then go out and get vengeance and have all these wrongs that have been done against you right. Just take one step back. Let God move in. And he will take care of the situation. How? Under the mantle of love. It is important that we learn that we gain nothing by holding other people in unforgiveness. We need the freedom. We need joy. We need the restful peace that God alone can give you. What will you choose? Would you want to continue holding them in unforgiveness, or do you want that closer relationship with God? In closing, let me show you how I deal with unforgiveness. This is my heart. If you think it looks pretty, it's deceitful. It's not pretty at all. So these are the things that I, can you all see it from there? These are the things that I have held in my heart through the time that I needed to survive, and I thought this was the way. The time that I was looking for justice, and I thought I was the judge. My parents, an abusive mother, and a father that worked too long so that he wouldn't have to deal with her. My lost childhood, I literally went to bed one night and woke up having lost my childhood forever. Not being enough, being invisible to the world, just not being enough. Doesn't matter what I did or how close I got, what my effort was, I just was not enough. Physical and sexual abuse, psychologically empty. You know what psychologically empty is?
and your heart feels nothing. When the next step you take forward is suicide. Not being pretty enough. Not being a favorite. Rejected. Misunderstood. Discarded. Unappreciated. Neglected. Confused on purpose by others. Thrown away. Then, Martha. Hard to forgive Martha. And then there's Nikki. And John, he should have stepped in, and he didn't. Frank, Arlene, a pit bull with a dress. Val, broke my heart. Nikki, said one thing out of one side of the mouth, said another right behind my back. Becky. Becky got a mother of five, got really sick, and toward the end of her life, I just wanted to make sure that God knew that she owed me nothing, nothing. And if it was his will, if he could save her, I would be so grateful. And then, the biggest, betrayal. Betrayed by the people I trusted the most. And then, I had to forgive me. Because I was not without fault. I could push the buttons as well as anybody else. Probably better because I had time to plan. Don't think that you're getting away with that. And then, of course, I'm so innocent, So, this is my heart. As you can see, nobody can escape from here. The door only opens from the outside. For years, until the grace of God lifted me up and forgave me, I carry this with me. I gotta tell you that it affected every part of my life. Plus, it was so heavy as it is right now. But this is what you're carrying. Maybe the stones are not as big. Maybe they're smaller, not the same names. Might not even be the same things. But I bet some of you could at least pick one of those stones out of there. How long do you want to continue to carry that? We are all at the golden season of our lives. We know that because we are continually called seniors. The time that we have, do we want to have it carrying that? I don't, and I hope that you don't either. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the power of forgiveness. Help me set those that have hurt me free. Help me set them free. Help all of us, Lord, to release them to you
with a prayer for mercy, Lord. Father, I want you to know that they owe me nothing. They owe us nothing. I want to bless those who have hurt me and your children, Lord, want to have a heart of forgiveness also. Those that have hurt us, those that have misunderstood us, those that have spoken wrong against us, those that for some reason feel that they need to grumble. Help me, help all of us walk in your righteousness, in your peace, and in your joy. Make this the best years of our lives by demonstrating your love through me. Help me to forgive myself for all those times I know I have not acted like you intended me to be. For all those times that I have made you sad. For all those times, Lord, that we should have gone in one direction and on purpose we turned in another. For all those times that we had sinned against you. All of this, Heavenly Father, I ask for me, for these children that you have entrusted into my hands, for them I stand in the gap today, that they will have enough courage, Father, to forgive those that have offended them. This I pray. In the name of the one that has already paid the price, Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. If there's anyone that feels that they need help in getting to this point of forgiveness, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front now. But I am going to ask you, give me a call. Let me walk you through it. Let me help you. It's not easy, but it can be done. It's not easy, but it must be done. Give me a call during the week. Approach me at any time. We'll meet here or outside or anywhere. Don't let this opportunity go by. The reason that the Lord gave me this particular sermon for today is because not only do I need to remind myself of it, but I'm sure that somebody else needed to hear it. So this time, of course, we welcome anyone who would like to give their life to Christ, but we also welcome the opportunity to help you start your journey of forgiveness in Jesus' name.
Please stand as we sing together, page 560. Help us accept each other.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Teach us, O Lord, your lessons as in our daily life. We struggle to be human and search for truth and faith. Teach us to care for people, for all, not just for some. To love them as we find them or as they may become. Let your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love. To practice your acceptance until we know by heart a table of forgiveness and laughter's healing art. Lord, let our day's encounters with all who are in need, who hunger for acceptance, for righteousness and bread. We need new eyes for seeing, new hands.
us with your spirit. Lord, free us, make us one. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family